Oh my God, your friends sound so mean. 1803, Francis Janvier. No, they're cool, they're just... IDK. I feel a bit different from them sometimes. Hashtag special snowflake, am I right? 1804, Alid last. No, it's all right. I know the feeling. Ha ha. In the end, we chatted on Facebook until gone 10 p.m, and I completely forgot about telling him I was the artist until 3 a.m. when I remembered and started to panic and couldn't fall asleep for another 2 hours after that. Awkward. You're an idiot, said Mum when I relayed to her the entire situation on Wednesday. Not an unintelligent idiot, but a sort of naive idiot who manages to fall into difficult situations and then can't get out of it because she's too awkward. You just described my life. I was lying down on the lounge carpet, working my way through a maths past paper, while Mum was watching a How I Met Your Mother rerun, cross-legged on the sofa with a cup of tea in her hands. She sighed. You know, you just need to say it, don't you? It feels too major to say over Facebook. Then go to his house. He literally lives across the road. That's weird. No one knocks unexpectedly on other people's doors anymore. Okay, message him and say you need to go to his house to tell him something important. Mum, that literally sounds like I want to declare my love to him. She sighed again. Well, I don't know what to say then. You were the one complaining that this is stopping you focusing on your revision. I thought that was important to you. It is. You barely know him. Why is this bothering you so much? We've had a long conversation on Monday. It feels awkward to bring it up now. Well, that's life, isn't it? I rolled over so I was facing Mum. I feel like we could be friends, I said. But I don't want to mess it up. Oh, sweetheart. Mum gave me a sympathetic look. You've got lots of other friends. They only like school Francis, though. Not real Francis. Logarithms. Despite doing well in all of the exams I've ever taken, I always panic about them. I know that sounds like normal behaviour, but it doesn't feel normal when you're reduced to tears because of exponentials and logarithms. A completely useless topic from one of my maths exams. I couldn't find any notes on it in my folder, and the textbook was useless at explaining anything. I remember absolutely nothing from my maths AS level nowadays. It was 10:24 p.m, the night before my exam, and I was sitting on the lounge floor with my mum. Most of my maths notes and textbooks spread out on the floor around us. Mum had her laptop on her lap and was clicking through various websites to see if she could find any decent explanations of what logs were. I was trying not to start crying for the third time that evening. The idea that I might go down a grade because I physically could not find an explanation of a particular topic made me feel like stabbing myself. Do you have anyone you could talk to about this? Mum asked, still scrolling through Google. Are any of your friends in your class? Maya was in my maths class, but she was terrible at maths and would have no better idea than I did. And even if she did, I wasn't sure whether I'd be able to message her. I'd never messaged her before, discounting group chats. No, I said. Mum frowned and closed the laptop. Maybe you should just go to bed, love, she said in a soft voice. Being tired for the exam will make everything worse. I didn't know what to say, because I didn't want to go to bed. I don't think there's anything you can do. It's not your fault. I know, I said. So I went to bed, and I just cried, which is pretty pathetic, to be honest. Which is what I am. I shouldn't be surprised at myself. It would explain why I did what I did that night. I messaged Alid again. 0013. Francis Janvier. Are you awake? 0017. Alid Last. Hello? Yes, I am. Are you okay? 0018. Francis Janvier. Sorry for just messaging you randomly again. Just had a bit of a rough evening. Lol. 0019. Alid Last. It's honestly fine. What's up? If you're feeling crap, it's always better to talk about it. 0021. Francis Janvier. Okay, well, I've got my C2 maths exam tomorrow, and I realised today I missed an entire topic in my revision, and it's like one of the hardest topics. Logarithms? And I was just wondering, if you're not doing anything else right now, if you knew any decent websites or anything that explained it properly. I just can't get my head around it and I feel like shit. 0021. Alid Last. Oh, God, that's so horrible. 0023. Francis Janvier. Like, if I get a B in maths, I don't even know if Cambridge will want to interview me. IDK. This sounds really dumb, I know. I really shouldn't be so upset about this, haha. 0023. Alid Last. No, I totally get it. There's nothing more stressful than going into an exam knowing you're underprepared. Let me see if I can find my notes. Hang on. 0024. Francis Janvier. Only if you're not busy. I feel really bad asking you, but, like, you're the only person I can ask. 0025. Alid Last. Hey, maybe this is a crazy idea, but I could come round if you like. Like, right now? To help? 0025. Francis Janvier. Seriously? That would be literally amazing. 0026. Alid Last. Yeah. I mean, I'm only over the road and I don't have to get up early tomorrow. 0027. Francis Janvier. I feel awful. Are you sure about this? It's gone midnight. 0027. Alid Last. I want to help. You helped me home from Johnny's last week and I feel awful about that, so this makes us even. Ha ha. 0027. Francis Janvier. Okay. Oh, wow. You're a lifesaver. 0028. Alid Last. On my way. When I opened the door at 12:30 the night before my C2 maths exam, I immediately gave Alid a hug. It wasn't awkward, even though I initiated it and he sort of went, oh, and stepped backwards a little because he wasn't expecting it. Hello, I said, after letting him go. Hi, he said, almost a whisper, and then cleared his throat. He was wearing a Ravenclaw hoodie with grey pyjama shorts, bed socks and his lime green plimsolls, and he was holding a purple ring binder. Sorry, I am wearing pyjamas. I gestured to myself because I was wearing a dressing gown, a stripy T-shirt and Avengers leggings. No judgment there. I actually live in pyjamas. I stepped aside to let him in and then shut the door. He wandered a little way into the hallway before turning to face me. Was your mum okay with this? I asked. I may possibly have climbed out the window. That's extremely cliched. He smiled. Okay, so logs. He held up the folder. I brought my notes from last year. I thought you would have burned them or something. I put way too much effort into these to burn them. We sat in the lounge for over an hour, and Mum made us a hot chocolate, and with his tiny voice, Alid explained to me what exponentials and logarithms were, and what sorts of questions could come up, and how you solved them. For someone who was so quiet, he was shockingly good at explaining things. He explained everything step by step and made sure we did an example question for each subtopic. For someone like me, who could probably ramble non-stop until I died, it was quite an amazing thing to listen to. And when we'd finished, I felt like things were going to be okay. "You've literally saved my life," I said, as I led him to the door again. Alid looked a little more tired now, a little watery-eyed, and he'd tucked his hair behind his ears. "Not literally," he said with a chuckle, "but hopefully I helped." I wanted to say he'd done more than that, but it sounded embarrassing, because it hit me then what he'd done for me. He'd got up in the middle of the night, in his pyjamas, climbed out of the window of his bedroom to come and help me with one topic of a maths exam. We'd only had a long conversation in person one time before this. Why would anyone do something like that? For someone else? For me? "I have something to tell you," I said. "But I've been too scared to say it." Alid's expression dropped. "You have something to tell me," he said, instantly nervous. I took a breath. "I'm Toulouse," I said. Toulouser, on Twitter and Tumblr. "The fan artist you messaged?" And there was a long pause. And then he said, "Is this a lie? Are you just having a joke? Was this Daniel's idea or something?" "No, I know it sounds like a joke, but I just didn't know how to say it. When you told me you were the creator, I freaked out, internally, and, I was about to tell you, but I had no idea how you would react, and I didn't want you to hate me." "Because I'm the creator," he interrupted. "The creator of your favourite YouTube channel?" "Yeah." "So, okay." He looked down at his shoes. He almost looked sad. "So, were you just pretending to be nice all this time?" he said, his voice so quiet and soft. "Like, you know, taking me home and, I don't know, were you lying about your clothes and stuff, and asking me for help with maths, just so you could be friends with the creator of your favourite YouTube channel, and, get secret spoiler access, or..." "What? No, none of this has been a lie, I swear." "So, why have you been talking to me then?" he said. At the exact moment he said, "I'm so unimpressive," I said, "Because you're cool." We looked at each other. Then he laughed softly and shook his head. "This is so weird." "Yeah. I mean, this coincidence is insane. This shouldn't be happening right now. We live opposite each other. We have the same taste in clothes." I just nodded. "You're head girl and you do fan art secretly," he said. I nodded again and resisted the urge to apologise. "Am I the only person who knows?" he asked. I nodded a third time and we both had a moment of understanding. "Okay," he said, and then bent down to put his shoes on. I watched him tie his laces and then he stood up. "I don't have to do it if you don't want," I said. If it's too awkward. He pulled his sleeves over his hands. What do you mean? I mean, if it's weird to let me do the university art. I mean, I could just never see you again. You can ask someone else, someone you don't know. I don't mind. His eyes widened. I don't want to never see you again. Then he shook his head slightly. I want you to do the art. And I believed him. I really did. He wanted to see me again, and he wanted me to do the art. Are you sure? I don't mind if you don't want me to. I do. I tried and failed to contain a grin. Okay. He nodded, and we looked at each other for a moment. And though I think he might have wanted to say something else, he turned around and opened the door. He looked back one more time before he left. I'll message you tomorrow. Okay. Good luck with your exam. He waved slightly and then left. I shut the door and turned around. Mum was standing behind me, looking at me. Well done, she said with a small smile. What? I said, dazed, trying to replay everything that had just happened before I forgot it all. You told him? Yes. He didn't hate you? No. I stood very still. Are you okay? Said Mum. I just have no idea what he's thinking, like 99% of the time. Yeah, he's that sort of person. What sort of person? The sort of person who doesn't speak spontaneously. She folded her arms. Who won't say anything if you don't ask. Do you like him? She said. I blinked, not quite understanding the question. Yeah, obviously. No, I mean like him. I blinked again. I haven't thought about it. And then I did think about it. And I realised that I didn't like him in that way at all. And it didn't matter. No, I don't think so, I said. That's a bit irrelevant, isn't it? Mum frowned a little. Irrelevant to what? I don't know, just irrelevant. I stepped past her and started trudging upstairs saying, what a random question. Something before we continue. We didn't see each other in person for a while after that, but we carried on messaging each other on Facebook. Tentative how are yous became angry rants about TV shows, and even though we had really only hung out with each other twice, it felt like we were friends. Friends who barely knew anything about each other, except the other's most private secret. I just sort of want to say something before we continue. You probably think that Alid Last and I are going to fall in love or something, since he's a boy and I'm a girl. I just wanted to say, we don't. That's all. We are out there. The only person I've had an actual crush on in my life is Karis Last. Well, unless you count people I didn't know in real life, such as Sebastian Stan, Natalie Dormer, Alfie Enoch, Kristen Stewart, etc. Not that Karis was particularly more attainable than any of those. I think the main reason I had a crush on her was because she was pretty. And I think the secondary reason I had a crush on her was because she was the only queer girl I knew. Which is a bit silly, the more I think about it. So, I was chatting to this girl from the academy. Super pretty, and... Wait. Karis paused and stared at me. This was probably 2 months after we started sitting together on the train. I felt very stressed about it every single morning and afternoon, because she was very intimidating, and I was scared about saying something stupid in front of her. You know that I'm gay, don't you? I did not know. She raised her eyebrows, probably at my expression of absolute shock. Ah, I thought everyone knew that. She rested her chin in her hand, her elbow on the table between us, and gazed at me. That's funny. I've never met any gay people before, I said. Or bisexual people. I almost added, apart from me, but stopped myself at the last minute. You probably have, she said. You just didn't know that they were gay. The way she said it was like she'd met every person in the entire world. She fluffed up her fringe with one hand and said in a spooky voice, We are out there. I laughed, not knowing what to say. She continued her story about the girl from the academy and how she thought people were generally more homophobic at the academy because it was a mixed school rather than an all-girls school like ours. But I found it difficult to concentrate because I was trying to process what she had told me. It took me a moment to realise that my primary feeling about it was actually jealousy. She was living the teenage experience, and I was doing homework every evening until midnight. I hated her for having everything sorted, and I admired her for being perfect. I had a crush on her, and I couldn't help it. But I didn't have to kiss her. I didn't have to, and I shouldn't have. But that didn't stop me kissing Karis last. One day in the summer, 2 years ago, and ruining everything. Daniel Jung. On the morning of my first history exam, something pretty surprising happened. Daniel Jung came to talk to me. I was in the biggest room in the sixth form area, pretentiously named the Independent Learning Centre, or ILC, instead of what it actually was, a common room. I was reading some mind maps I'd made the week before, trying to memorise all the effects of the Truman Doctrine and the Marshall Plan. Not an easy task at 8:20 a.m. When he strode over to me, winding his body through the tables of last-minute panic revisers, Daniel really did think he was the ruler of the school, even though we were head boy and girl, and he frequently went on long rants about capitalism on Facebook. I found it bizarre that someone as mellow and kind as Alid Last could be best friends with someone as horrendous as Daniel Jung. Francis, he said as he reached my table, and I looked up from my mind maps. Daniel, I said with obvious suspicion. He leaned on my table with one hand, but not before moving my mind map swiftly away to make room. Have you spoken to Alid recently? He said, running a hand through his hair. That was completely not the question that I was expecting. Have I spoken to Alid recently? I repeated. Daniel raised his eyebrows. Well, we talk to each other on Facebook sometimes, I said. And he helped me with some revision last week. This was true, even though sometimes meant every day, and helped me with some revision meant literally came to my house for 2 hours in the middle of the night in his pyjamas, even though we'd only spoken properly in person once before. Right, said Daniel. He nodded and looked down, but didn't move. I stared at him. His gaze moved towards my mind maps. What's that? This is a mind map, Daniel, I said, trying not to get too annoyed. I didn't want to be in a bad mood in my history exam. Writing about the division of Germany for 2 hours was sad enough. Oh, he said, looking at it as if it were a pile of vomit. Okay. I sighed. Daniel, I really need to revise. It would be really great if you could go away. He stood up straight again. Fine, fine. But he didn't move. He just kept staring at me, What? I said. Did... He paused. I stared. A new expression appeared on his face, and it took a moment for me to realise that it was worry. I just haven't seen much of him for a while, he said. And as he said it, his voice sounded different. Softer. Not like himself. Okay. Has he said anything about me to you? Daniel stood, without moving for a second more. Nope, I said. Did you have an argument or something? No, he said. I wasn't sure whether he was telling the truth. He turned to walk away, but then he stopped and turned back. What grades do you need to get for Cambridge? A star AA, I said. How about you? A star A. Oh, is that more for science? I don't know. We stared at each other for a moment, and then he shrugged and said, okay, bye, and walked off. Maybe if I'd known what I know now, I would have said something to Alid. Would have asked him more about Daniel, about their relationship. Or maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. It's done now. Boring. Francis, hello. I glanced up. Maya was looking at me from across our lunch table. Our exams had come to an end, and I was back at school. This meant we were starting our new A2 classes, and I didn't want to let my concentration slip and miss out on any important information. So I didn't think I'd get much time to see Alid before the summer holidays. But we'd agreed to meet up at the weekend anyway. And to be honest, I was pretty excited about it. Did you hear any of that? Continued Maya. I'd been doing some maths questions from the textbook, homework that most people didn't do, but I always did. No, I said, embarrassed. My friends laughed. We were just thinking about going to the cinema on Saturday, said someone else. You in? I glanced around for Rain, but she wasn't there. I think... I paused. I've got too much work to do. I'll have to let you know. My friends laughed again. Classic Francis, said one, just in a teasing way, but it still hurt a bit. Don't worry. The irony was that I actually didn't have any work to do at the weekend. We'd just finished our AS exams, and we'd only just started our A2 course. But I was seeing Alid on Saturday. And, to be honest, even though I'd only been speaking to him for a month, mostly on Facebook, I'd rather have hung out with him. I was boring when I was with my school friends. I was quiet, work-obsessed, boring school Francis. I wasn't like that when I was with Alid. Baba. The next time we saw each other in person after the midnight logarithm session was at his house. The Saturday of the week I went back to school. I didn't even feel nervous, which I found a bit weird because, as previously mentioned, I was usually nervous when seeing my school friends, let alone a guy I'd known properly for about 4 weeks. I stood in front of his door and checked I wasn't wearing anything ridiculous by accident, and then rang the doorbell. He opened it within 2 seconds. Hi, he said with a smile. His appearance was markedly different to the last time I'd seen him. His hair was longer, covering his ears and eyebrows completely now, and gone with a mismatched hoodie and shorts. He was back in plain jeans and a t-shirt. They didn't seem to suit him. Hi, I said. I sort of wanted to give him a hug, but I sensed that might be a bit awkward. Despite being friends with Alid's twin sister for a year, I'd never been inside their house. Alid gave me a tour. There was a to-do list blackboard and a chores rota in the kitchen. fake flowers in vases covering the windowsills and surfaces, and a greying Labrador named Brian, who loped after us until we went upstairs. Alid's mum wasn't home. His room, on the other hand, was a treasure cavern. Every other room in his house was cream and brown, but his room had no visible wall due to all the posters. Fairy lights covering the ceiling and the bed, several houseplants, a whiteboard with scribbles all over it, and no less than 4 different beanbags. He had a blanket on his bed that had the pattern of a city at night on it. He seemed pretty nervous about letting me in his room. The floor, desk and bedside table were bare, like he'd tidied up and hidden things before I'd arrived. I tried not to stare too long at any particular part of the room and sat down on his desk chair, a safer option than the bed. Bedrooms are windows to the soul. Alid sat down on his bed and crossed his legs. His bed was a single, less than half the size of my bed. But Alid wasn't very tall. We were the same height, so it was probably okay. "So," I said, "universe, city, art, planning, stuff." I clapped my hands in between each word, and Alid grinned and looked down. "Yes." We'd agreed to meet on that day to have a meeting about universe city. I specifically used the word meeting when I suggested meeting up. It felt a bit weird to just ask him to hang out with me because I wanted to see him, even though that was true. Alid opened his laptop. "I was just looking at your blog because there's a few particular drawings that I thought would be really good for the videos, like a good style." He tapped away on the keyboard, but I couldn't see the screen. I spun from side to side on his desk chair. Then he paused and looked up. He gestured for me to come towards him. "Come and look." So I went and sat with him on the bed. We went through my blog and chatted for a while about what sort of style would work for 20-minute long videos without me having to make a 20-minute long animation once a week. Impossible. I did most of the talking at first, but he got more confident as we went on, and by the end we were both rambling. "But the thing with drawing the characters is that I think everyone's idea of what they look like is slightly different, and there'd always be some people who were disappointed," he was saying, typing out notes on Evernote. We were both further up the bed, leaning against the wall. "Like, especially radio. If you tried to draw radio, we'd face all sorts of questions like, does their appearance change with the voice? Or are they completely androgynous? And then, what does total androgyny look like when gender isn't even anything to do with appearance or voice?" "Yeah, exactly. You can't just have radio in, like, masculine clothes with a skinny feminine body. That's such a stereotypical view of androgyny." He nodded. "People can still be agender if they wear skirts and have beards and stuff." "Exactly." Alid typed, "Radio, no physical appearance," after a new bullet point, then nodded to himself and then looked at me. "Do you want a drink or anything?" "Yeah, sure. What have you got?" He ran through the options and I picked lemonade, and then he left to get us drinks. He made sure to shut his laptop, as if scared that I might immediately start searching his internet history. I didn't blame him. I didn't trust me either. I sat still for a moment, and then I couldn't resist my curiosity any longer. I went first to the bookshelf above his bed. On one side was a collection of aged CDs, including every Kendrick Lamar album, which surprised me, and 5 different Radiohead albums, which surprised me again. On another side was a pile of well-used notebooks, and it felt too invasive to see what was inside them. There wasn't anything on the desk, but after looking closer, I noticed there were small splatters of dried paint and PVA glue. I didn't dare open any of the drawers. I read some of the scribbles on his whiteboard. Not much of it made sense, but it seemed to be a mix of to-do lists and notes about upcoming Universe City episodes. Dark blue was circled. On the right, he'd written stars, beaming down something. Metaphor? In one corner were the words Joan of Arc. I wandered over to his wardrobe, which was covered in film posters, and opened it. This was extremely invasive, but I did it anyway. I guess I wanted to know whether there was someone like me out there in the world. There were t-shirts, a lot of t-shirts. T-shirts with patterned breast pockets, t-shirts with animals on them, t-shirts with all-over patterns of skateboarders and chips and stars. There were jumpers, huge woolen ones with wide necks, turtlenecks and ripped ones, cardigans with elbow patches, oversized sweatshirts, a boat pattern or a computer on the back, or one that sported the word no in black Helvetica. There was a pair of trousers, pale blue with embroidered ladybirds all over them, and there was a 5-panel cap with the NASA logo on it. There was a large denim jacket with Baba the elephant on the back. Are you inspecting my clothes? I turned, slowly, to find Alid standing in the doorway, a glass of lemonade in one hand. He looked a little surprised, but not angry. Why do you not wear any of this? I said, feeling almost dazed, because this wardrobe might as well have been mine. He chuckled and looked down at what he was wearing. Blue jeans and a grey t-shirt. I don't know. Daniel thinks I'm really weird. I took his Baba jacket out of the cupboard and put it on, and then checked myself out in his mirror. This is literally the best item of clothing I have ever seen. This is it. You've done it. You own the best item of clothing in the entire universe. I turned to him and struck a pose. I'm probably going to steal this, just so you know. I started rifling through his wardrobe. This just... it looks like my wardrobe. I didn't know whether you were joking when you told me on Facebook. I would have worn something better today, but I didn't know. I have some leggings with Monsters, Inc. characters on them. I thought about wearing them, but, like, I don't know. You need to tell me where you got these trousers, because they're literally... I've never seen anything like them. I just kept talking and talking, and I couldn't remember the last time I'd rambled like this to someone other than my mum. Alid looked at me. The sun was shining through the window onto his face, so I couldn't really see what he was thinking. I honestly thought, he said as I finally stopped talking, you were, like, just some quiet, work-obsessed study machine person. Not that there's, like, anything wrong with being like that, but, I don't know. I just thought you were really boring. And you're not. The way he said it was so frank that I almost blushed. Almost. He shook his head and laughed at himself. Sorry, that sounded way less mean in my head. I shrugged and sat back down on his bed. I thought you were boring too, to be fair. And then I found out that you make my favourite thing in the entire world. He smiled, embarrassed. Universe City is your favourite thing in the world. I paused, wondering why I'd just said that. I wondered whether it was actually true. Too late to take it back now. I laughed. Yeah. That's a really nice thing to say. We got back to Universe City stuff, but very quickly got distracted when I was looking through his iTunes and we discovered we both liked MIA and started watching her concerts on YouTube, sitting on his bed with the blanket over us and drinking our lemonade. I ended up reciting the full rap from Bring the Noise as he watched in moderate amazement. I felt embarrassed about it until about halfway through when he started nodding along. After that, we wondered whether we should get back to the university stuff. But Alid admitted he was kind of tired, and I suggested watching a film. So we watched Lost in Translation, because I hadn't seen it before, and Alid accidentally fell asleep. We met up again the next day. We got the train into town to go to Cream's, a milkshake cafe, with a pretense of talking about university. But instead, we spent an hour talking about all the TV shows we watched when we were children. We were both obsessed with Digimon and decided to watch the movie when we got home. I was wearing my Monsters, Inc. leggings, and he was wearing his Babar jacket.